I'd love to sort of lay out some of the sugya of Bein HaShmashos, which is a sugya that has relevance in many different parts of Shas, many different parts of Shulchan Aruch. From one perspective, it's primarily a Hilcha Shabbos sugya, judging by Shulchan Aruch. It is rooted largely in the earlier Masechta Shabbos in the second parak, as you saw. And Nosei Kalim discuss Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kalim discuss in some Rishna Machalef in the context of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, which is the context in which it comes up in the second parak. A very, very famous and remarkably uncharacteristically lengthy Gra. The Gra is known for his brevity. It's assumed that the Gra was trying to be makbid on not writing Torah Shrapeh any more than is necessary. He's assuming that it was Dechuya, not Hutra. It's assumed that that's why the Be'er Gra is always incredibly concise. Almost always incredibly concise. Every once in a while he has a lot that he wants to say and will speak at length. I think the longest Be'er HaGra is probably that Gra in Archaim Reish Samach Aleph about our sugya, about the sugya of Bein HaShmashos. So in many ways it's a Hilchos Shabbos sugya. It's, again, relevant all over. It is in many ways also a Hilchos Milah sugya. It appears, as you had the chance to see twice, it appears in Reish Samach Beis and again in Reish Samach Vav. Reish Samach Beis in terms of Hilchos Milah in general, and when Milah should be done, and that's sort of picking up where we left off last week, the Milah has to be by Yom and not by Laila, so what's the Hagdara? Zrizin would mandate that one do the Bris Milah in the morning and as early as is reasonable, but Lamasa, it's Kasher in the afternoon as well, so the Bein HaShmashos question is a question of, well, when do you cross over from afternoon to night? It recurs again in Reish Samach Vav, in the context of Mila B'Shabbos. And interestingly, the sort of the core questions about the definition of Bein HaShmashos actually raise more Reish Samach Vav than in Reish Samach Beis. Bein HaShmashos appears in the Mishnah in the end of Elazar de Mila, and that's in a sense where the conversation begins. That's where you see that the Bein HaShmashos question is doubly relevant. That's the Mishnah, the second Mishnah Kuf Lam Zayim and Aleph, but the Katanimol L'Shmon L'Tish L'Asar L'Achadas Aliyud Beis. At L'Pachas L'Yoser. The baby sounds a little bit like the Mishnayis Minyan Diyom about Mikra Megillah. Not earlier than the 11th of Adar, not later than the 15th of Adar. So not earlier than the 8th day and not later than the 12th day. And the Mishnah goes on to explain, we touched on this Mishnah a little bit in last week's Chabura, that obviously it's supposed to be Mila B'Zman, it's supposed to be B'Shmona, but if it's Nolad Bein HaShmashos, if you're Nolad Twilight, when it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila, so then, let's say Nolad in between Tuesday and Tuesday night, in between Alpidin Tuesday and Wednesday, so next week we can't do the Bris Mila on Tuesday, because that might be too early, since I would do the Bris Mila on Wednesday. Tuesday is Safik Shvi, Shal Safik Shmini. Wednesday is Safik Shmini, Safik Shi, it's much better. And then but that's Tashi'i, because Wednesday might already be the 8th, 9th day. And then if it's not Tuesday, Wednesday, but Friday, Shabbos, so you can't do it on Friday, might be too early. You can't do it on Shabbos, because Mila Bizman is only Docha Shabbos, Mila Shalom Bizman is not Docha Shabbos. And if it's Noel Bein HaShmashos, we don't know whether the Shmini is Friday or Shabbos. So Shabbos is Safik Bizman, Safik Shalom Bizman, so you move it to Sunday. Then if Sunday is a Yontif, or if Sunday, Monday, or 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so then we push it to Monday or to Tuesday. That's how the Mishnah says you might end up pushing off the Bris Mila up to 4 days. Obviously, again, last week we touched on Chola. This is in a situation of health. Obviously, the baby is sick, so who knows how long we'll push it up. But just from a calendaric perspective, calendrical factors alone could push the Bris Mila off up to potentially 4 days if you have the combination of Bein HaShmashos and a 3-day Yomtif. We'll come back to the 3-day Yomtif aspect further when we get back to Reish Samach Vav, as we close out on the end of Hilchos Mila, because the question of whether Mila Shal Bezman is not Docha Shabbos, not Docha Yomtif, Machlokas Rishonim by Yomtif Sheni, because the Mishnah is clear that Safik, this Mishnah is clear that Mila Shal Bezman is not Docha second day of Rosh Hashanah, Machlokes Rishonim, how about some other second day? Okay. And the Shulchan Aruch points out here in Reish Samach Beis that this is sometimes an issue, halacha lemaaseh, the birth is not instantaneous. Birth, the delivery is a process. But there's one point in the process of delivery when the child is al-pidin considered to be nolad, and that is Yitzias HaRosh. Depending on how the delivery goes, there could be a little time before the rest of the baby emerges. So that's why if it's getting close to Shkia, that's what Shulchan Aruch points out, you got to keep an eye. You want to keep an eye. Someone, ideally someone who's a Shomer Mitzvah, should be keeping an eye on the clock to know not just that the nurse is going to note the time of birth on the birth certificate, but that's not necessarily the halachic time of birth. The halachic time of birth is Yitzias HaRosh, which may be a little earlier than what they're going to put down on the birth certificate. And sometimes minutes matter in terms of when the bris milah is. And I think the situation we just gave, if it's a Friday evening, minutes can determine any of 3 days. Because if it's still Vada Yom, so then the baby's bris will be next week Friday. If it's during Ben HaShemashas, then the baby's bris will be next week Sunday. And if it's after Ben HaShemashas Vada Laila, then the baby's bris will be next week Shabbos. For those who like halachic riddles, that's a scenario when having been born later, you have two babies, and the one who's born later has a bris earlier. Because the one who's born Ben HaShemashas, the bris is going to be on Sunday. The one who's born later, during Vada Laila, the bris will be a day earlier on Shabbos. But a takeoff on the famous riddle of the Agur. The Sefer Agur is one of the late Chachmei Ashkenaz, or the late Ashkenaz Rishonim, who wrote a sort of Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. And after his Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, called the Sefer Agur, he has a Sefer Hachidos, I believe it's called. He has a long series, like more than 20 halachic riddles. But the most famous one is the first one, based on the Gemara in Erech, and it talks about the boy who's born later has an earlier bar mitzvah because of the way the Shana Mubaris works out. So this is sort of a takeoff on that, where the baby who's born later has an earlier bris. But be that as it may, part of what this raises is a question which, again, is ironically raised more in Reish Samach Vav than Reish Samach Beis, the question of, well, what exactly is this Ben HaShemashas? When is it Safik Yom? The Mishnah in the 19th parak, the Mishnah Kuf Lamed Zayin, just assumes there's something called Ben HaShemashas, and clearly implies that it is a time during which it's a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. If you go back to the Sugya in Bamei Madlikin, in the second parak, again, as I mentioned before, it's in the context of Hadlakas Neiros, that's the primary topic of the second parak. So the Gemara there on the top of Lamed Aleph Beis has a braisa that begins to discuss in greater detail this idea of Ben HaShemashas. That's what the braisa says, that Ben HaShemashas is the Safek Yom and Safek Laila. The braisa has interesting terminology. Ben HaShemashas Safek Mayom, Safek Min HaLaila, Safek Kula Min HaYom, Safek Kula Min HaLaila, Matin Lo So L'Chomer Shnei Yamim. So it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila, Safik totally day, Safik totally night. We treat it lahachmer in both directions. I do not want to get into it, though it's fascinating, the question of the nature of Ben HaShemashas, but rather the question of the details, the definition of Ben HaShemashas. What I mean is, we won't get into it, but let me just lay out what we're not going to get into, but Kedai at some other point in your learning to dive into. The Rav has a very beautiful and famous presentation, one of the Yartzeit Shiurim, in terms of the nature of Ben HaShemashas. He works based on a whole slew of kashas that seem to cut fly in the face. It's not always true that we treat Ben HaShemashas as a suffix. A variety of, from the way the Gra calculates Shalos Manios to Rabbeinu Yonah, the beginning of Brachas, that he thinks you can be Mekayim Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim after Shkia. There are a number of situations where we don't treat it as a suffix, where it's vade one way or the other. And he has a ritva deep in the Kachim Prakim of Yuma, I think Daf Mem Vav, Daf Mem Zayin, who seems to indicate that it's not that it's a suffix. It's not that the Rav develops based on that ritva. It's not that there's some moment in time during this period of Ben HaShemashas, there's some moment where Yom actually ends and Laila begins, we're just not sure when it is. Number one, he has all those kashas. And number two, he points out the Gemara never seems interested in answering that question. The Gemara spends over a block figuring out when does Ben Hashemashas begin, when does Ben Hashemashas end. We'll dive into that soon. But the Gemara never really bothers, it seems backwards. Why not just answer the question, when does Laila begin? So that coupled with all the other kashas, the Graz, Shavas Manios, and the Rabbeinu Yonah and so forth, it leads the Rav to develop this idea based on Ritva, that it's not that there's a magic moment. It's not that there's some magic number of minutes after Shkia. That's really when Laila begins. We just don't know what that number is. Ben Hashemashas is just the period of time during which, somewhere during which is the magic moment. But he says, Fakert, he says, Ben Hashemashas is Safik Yom, Safik Laila fundamentally. He says, Ben Hashemashas really is both. In the first day of Bria, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Psukim define Yom as when there's light. And on the fourth day of Bria, the Psukim describe Yom as when there's sun. He suggests that Ben Hashemashas, and we will get into this, is a time when the sun is gone, but the light is still there. So from a sun perspective, it's night. From a light perspective, it's still day. So it's sort of both. So the way we treat that, practically, if from one perspective it's day, from a different perspective it's night, that we practically, Allah HaLamasa, we treat that as a suffix. But it's not actually epistemologically a suffix. It's nothing we don't know. We know what it is, and it's both. And so halacha l'maaseh, we treat a suffix, and that idea, that equation, that we treat a both as a suffix, that he roots in the Ritva, in Yuma, who seems to say that the Ketorah is between the Kohen's fingers, so it's sort of on the inside and sort of on the outside, we treat it as both. He's a diak in the Ritva. So that there's more to say about that. I do not want to focus on that now, although we'll keep it in mind. We'll perhaps circle back to it. Again, I want to focus not as much on the nature of Ben Hashemashas as much as on the definition. When is this Ben Hashemashas? When does it start? When does it end? Lamasa, and that's a very, very Lamasa question. A baby is born at 6:07. So when's his birth going to be? So where do you even start? So the Gemara says, so as I mentioned, it's over a blot here. It starts with Lamed Aleph and Aleph. The top of Lamed Aleph and Aleph, it goes a drop more than a blot onto Lamed Hei. It starts Lamed Aleph and Beis, and it goes onto Lamed Hei and Beis. The Gemara opens with this brisa that says that the period of Ben Hashemashas, the period of Safik, begins Misha Tishka HaChama, once the sun sets. And then there was a long discussion. There are some Tanam who think it starts later, but that's not widely assumed. There was a lot in Tanam and Amram in terms of when does Ben Hashemashas end? And the Gemara has a couple of different ways of describing it. Some of them may be equivalent. The Gemara talks about some astronomical things. You look about Hichsev Tachno, Hichsev Elyon, looking to see how dark the sky is getting. Obviously, as the sun sets, as time elapses after sunset, the sky gets darker and darker. The bottom of Lamed Aleph and Beis going on top of Lamed Hei and Aleph, the Gemara gives numbers. Machlokas Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Gemara says slightly less than a mil. Well, slightly less, a mil is a distance. Mil is 2,000 amas, but the Gemara also uses mil as a measure of time, the amount of time it would take a person to walk a mil, which is a three-way machlokas, whether it's 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, or 24 minutes. We're most familiar with the 18-minute version. So I have 18 minutes, so then 3/4 of a mil is 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. So that's what the Gemara seems to say in the bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis. That Ben Hashemashas begins at Shkia and it ends 3/4 of a mil later. And then at the end of the Gemara, continues to discuss more to find at the end of the Sugya, on the top of Lamed Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara redefines this in terms of stars. Kochav Echad Yom, Shnayim Ben Hashemashas, and Shlosh HaLaila. And that's the source for the idea that the end of Ben Hashemashas ends 13 and a half minutes or so after Shkia at Tzeisa Kochav. Tzeisa Kochav means when three stars come out. The Gemara says not big ones, not small ones. Obviously, the larger the star, the sooner you see it. And the smaller the star, the later you see it, because as the sun continues to dip deeper and deeper below the horizon, the sky becomes darker and darker, and the darker it is, obviously the more you, the finer stars you can see. That's why you can see there are stars out all day long. We are surrounded by stars from all sides. We just don't see them during the day because of the overwhelming light of the sun. Sometimes you can see the moon late in the day when sunlight, even before sunset, when sunlight is already decreasing, the moon is pretty big. So the moon you can see. The moon is often out during the middle of the day also, but you can never see it. It's not visible, even if it's in our line of sight. As the sunlight decreases, as sunset draws closer, you can see the moon. After sunset, you begin to see bigger stars and eventually smaller stars. That's what the Gemara says, the top of Lamed Beis, Kochavim, three Kochavim Beinonim. We can see three Kochavim Beinonim. It's Tzeis Gimel Kochavim, which you just call Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's the end of Bein HaShemashos. So again, to recap, the Gemara Shabbos says there is a period of time called Bein HaShemashos. It's a Mishnah as well in our backyard, the end of Elazar and Demila. And the Sugya tells us that Bein HaShemashos, according to most Tanaim, begins at Shkia and ends, let's say, 3/4 of a minute later, 13 and a half minutes, or 16 and change, or 18 minutes later, at Seis Gimel Kochavim. That's the Sugya in a nutshell on Daf Lamed Daf Lamed Hey. Yeah, question. So Rabbeinu Tam raises a problem. Rabbeinu Tam says he doesn't understand that the way the Tosas here in Lamed Hey and Aleph, as well as Tosas and Psachim, Tosas and Masel Trey, in Lamed Hey and Aleph, they point out that this seems to fly in the face of the Sugya in the ninth parak of Psachim. When I was trying to figure out, the ninth parak of Psachim is about Pesach Sheni. Near the beginning of the parak, Mishnayos, the Gemara discussing who is royal of Pesach Sheni. The Psukim talk about two reasons why you miss Pesach Rishon that would give you the opportunity and the obligation of Pesach Sheni, either follows Tamei or is Bederach Mechoka. So Tamei we know how to define, that's a whole Seder of Mishnayos. But who's Bederach Mechoka? So the Tanam have Machlokas in the Mishnah, Machlokas Lezer of Lekiva. Does Derech HaChoka mean you were not in the Azara, or Derech HaChoka actually means you were a distance away? So the Gemara works on what that distance would be, a radius of 15 mil, and that's based on how long you would walk over the course of half of a day. Either it's from sunrise to Chatzos, or the Ram presents it, or the way most Rishonim say it, from Chatzos to sunset, which is the same amount of time. And that gets, the Gemara begins to discuss, well, how long is it from sunrise to sunset? How long is it from Alos to sunrise and from sunset to Tzeis HaKochavim? So number one, just as a side point, it's that Gemara with how long it takes from here to there. That's where at least two of, and maybe all three shitos in terms of how you define a mil, whether a mil is 18, 22 and a half, or 24 minutes, comes from different ways of reading that, different ways of reading that Gemara, different shitos in that Gemara. And now again, just to lay things out, so the Gemara says, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and it's light already before sunrise, and it's light after sunset. That's because of refraction of the light, sunlight through the atmosphere. So it doesn't, the sky doesn't go black the moment the sun sets, not like a switch goes off, but it gradually darkens. And on the other end, in the morning, it gradually lightens in advance of sunrise. So the Gemara there presents that the first light, Alos HaShachar, is 4 or 5 mil before sunrise. And symmetrically, Tzeis HaKochavim is 4 or 5 mil after sunset. And let's assume that we work with this, we accept Lamasa the Shita 4 mil. So Alos HaShachar is 4 mil before sunrise, and Tzeis HaKochavim is 4 mil after sunset. So, and that's the Gemara. And the Gemara uses that to figure out, again, how far you could walk, how far you could reach, how far could you be at some point in an Erev Pesach and still reach the Azara in time. So Rabbi Tam says, one second, the Gemara here said that Bein HaShemashos, the Gemara here in Shabbos said Bein HaShemashos is a period of 3/4 of a mil, less than 1 mil, from Shkia to Tzeis HaKochavim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that from Shkia to Tzeis HaKochavim is 4 mil, or five. So we pass in four. But four, that's a big stira. Is it 3/4 of a mil or is it 4 mil from Shkia? It's Ein Sekel Chavim. It's Rabbeinu Tam's kasha. And it's a very, very strong kasha. So there's letter of Rabbeinu Tam to say that it must be that there are two different things called Shkia. You had a marker be easier, but okay, we can imagine this also. The Gemara on Shabbos says from Shkia to Tseis is only 3/4 of a mil. The Gemara on Pesachim says from Shkia to Tseis is 4 mil. So how do those line up? The Rabbeinu Tam says there must be two different things called Shkia. The Gemara in Shabbos is talking at a much later point than the Gemara in Pesachim. He says the Gemara in Pesachim, when it says sunset, it means what we call sunset, when the sun sets below the horizon. And Tseis HaKol Chavim is 4 mil later, 72, 90, 96 minutes later. The Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos is talking about when the Gemara in Shabbos says Misha Tishka, every time it's a diyuk, it doesn't say Shkia, it says Misha Tishka. I think that's the end of the process of Shkia. The Tam sees Shkia as a process. That is perhaps because the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Tzadi Dalid has a discussion about what happens to the sun after sunset. It disappears. Where does it go? So the Gemara says the Jewish Chachamim, not clear if that means Rabbanim or just Jewish scientists, the Chacham Yisrael said, you know, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, and then when after it disappears, it flips behind the atmosphere, behind the Rakia, and scoots back around again. And the Chacham Umas HaOlam said, no, it continues the same direction, and it continues going below, from our perspective, below the planet, and that's how it ends up the next morning in the east. And the Gemara says that Hodu, ultimately the Chacham Yisrael agreed with the Chacham Umas HaOlam, and that indeed is what astronomers can, and astronauts can directly observe, that there's a smooth orbit. Now, the Gilin Ashas quotes at Rabbeinu Tam, Shittim Kubet says there, at Gilin Ashas and Pesachim, Tam said, it doesn't mean that in the course of conversation, they were mode at one point, but Lamai said, we really hold we're right. And that's that idea that Rabbeinu Tam seems to think is Lemaskana, that the sun goes through the thickness, he goes the Ovi HaRakia, and then it flips back around. So that trip to the Ovi HaRakia, what Rabbeinu Tam seems to understand, is the process of Shkia. So he says that trip takes 3 3/4 mil. So he says Tchila Shkia is when the sun disappears, visible sunset. He says the process of Shkia, but that's not Halachic Shkia, says Rabbeinu Tam. Halachic Shkia is the second Shkia, or the end of Shkia, which is 3 1/4 mil later. So Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion, and that's how he resolves these two Gemaras. And Tam is of the opinion that when the sun sets, it's still Vada Yom for another 3 1/4 mil, which is around an hour. For up to an hour, approximately, give or take, after sunset's Vada Yom. And then you begin the last 3/4 mil before Tzitz HaKochavim. That's from Sof Shkia to Tzitz HaKochavim. That's the period of time which is Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So that's this, if you've heard about 72 minutes, that's where it comes from. 72, if it's 4 mil, assuming that a mil is 18 minutes, so Vadai Laila, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is only 4 mil after Shkia. But not only that, it's Vadai Yom until 3 1/4 mil after Shkia. That's the position of Rabbeinu Tam, and a number of Rishonim who followed him agreed with him. The Ramban and the Beis Midrash Shel Ramban, the Ramban, the Ran, and so on and so forth. That is the position of Rabbeinu Tam. It's incredibly difficult. It's incredibly difficult because on a lot of levels, there are riots against it. I put it in my arm covers as a Rashbo, as a series of kashas, even though he sounds like he's open to paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. But on the other hand, he has a lot of kashas from Rabbeinu Tam. Kashas from Gemaras, the Vilna Gaon I mentioned before, incredibly lengthy Vilna Gaon, in Reish Tamachaf and Archaim, piles on kasha, agave kasha, agave kasha, from Makoros. He also points out, aside from Makoros, hachush nachash. He says, walk outside and look at the sky. It doesn't take nearly, does not take 72 minutes to see 3 stars. Even 3 stars that are Kochavim Benonim. And the truth is, it's hard to know what Rabbeinu Tam's response to that would be, because you see, for us, we live post Edison, so for us, the Vilna Gaon's Chush Makhish is sort of like a interesting theoretical thing. We don't actually see stars. We live in urban areas. We don't see stars much, and certainly not. We don't see stars nearly as quickly as you ought to because of all the light pollution. It's artificially like day, like we said before. The stars are out during the day also. You just can't see them because of the sunlight. So we have plenty of light, ambient artificial light, even during the night. If you get out, that's why they build observatories in the middle of the desert, far, far, Mount Palomar, far from habitation, so that you try to reduce as much as possible any ambient light that would get in the way of your observations. But pre-Edison, when the sun set, it got dark. Like you could light some candles, you could have some gas light sconces outside if you're wealthy. nothing that's going to very significantly impact your capacity to observe the skies. So at more recent starting point, it's hard to even understand. Right, Tom and the Ramban, how do they understand this? I mean, they looked at the sky. They saw stars every night, unless it was cloudy. So how are they understanding it? Not clear. Not clear. The truth is, it's a gra in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's already a shach in Hilchos Mila. And as I mentioned before, ironically, not Simon Reish Samach Beis, but Simon Reish Samach Vav. He quotes the Tshuvas Maram Al Shakar, who points out that yes, there is a cheat of the Rebbe Yonatan and the Ramban. And the Ran and the rest of Beis Midrash and Ramban seem to agree, and Rashba got to figure out. The Ramban and the Talmid have largely accept the position of Anatam. He says, on the other hand, Ramban Rosh Hashanah says he has the impression that the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush all seem to hold not like Ramban Anatam. It's not really the Shita of the Gra. It really goes back to Gaonim. And Ramban Rosh Hashanah says, quoted by the Shach and Simon Reish Samach Vav, he says many of the Gedolei Rishonim did not agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Now, how do you resolve the steer? Rabbeinu Tam had a strong kasha. So the Gra says, let me present the Gra's teretz in the following way. We had a problem that the Gemara on Shabbos has a very short period of time from Shkia to Tzeis Gechavim, and the Gemara on Pesachim is a very long interval. So Rabbeinu Tam's idea was to sort of move Safi Gilm Safi Gilm to the end of that long interval and say there's one seis and there are two shkias. The Gra basically says the reverse. There's only one shkia. The sun sets. That's it. There's no process. Sunset is sunset. He says there aren't two shkias. There's two things called seis hakochavim. And he says, I can demonstrate it. You look at the Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos was clear that we're talking about seis gimel kochavim. What's the Gemara in Pesachim talking about? As well, as we've mentioned before, the Gemara in Pesachim presents whatever it means by Tzeis HaKochavim is parallel to Alos HaShachar. Now, Alos HaShachar is first light. Alos HaShachar is when it begins, long before sunrise, when the sky begins to lighten. And that's 4 mil before sunrise. So by the parallelism, by symmetry, it means that the Tzeis, which is 4 mil after sunset, is when it's fully, when the last bit of light disappears, when everything is gone. So Gra says, that's not when you're going to see three kochavim. When there's no light, no sunlight left whatsoever in the sky, that's going to be Tzeis Kol HaKochavim. That's when you're going to see thousands of stars. So that's way later. So he says, the Gemara there wasn't discussing halachic Tzeis HaKochavim. The Gemara there was talking about a person traveling. And when you're going to travel. So that was, in that context, Seis HaKochavim there meant Seis Kol HaKochavim. Here, the Gemara is talking about Seis Gimel Kochavim. The Gemara is clear that Safik Yom Safik Lala ends at Seis Gimel Kochavim. I would add a bit more to this approach of the Gra, just to use some terminology. And if you're ever tinkering, those who are more technically minded, that might be tinkering with some settings in your computer, or maybe tinkering with Zmanim settings, so you might come across the fact that astronomers have three ways of defining twilight. The Hashmash is a halachic concept. It's a natural concept with halachic significance. But it is a concept that the rest of the world recognizes as well, both astronomically as well as legally and practically. So astronomers usually talk about three levels of twilight. There's civil twilight, let's say after sunset, there's civil twilight, there's nautical twilight, and there's astronomical twilight. Civil twilight is soon after sunset, up until civil dusk. That's the civil tesach kochavim. And that civil twilight is when there's no sun, but you can more or less function the same as day. You can still get around without artificial light. 10 minutes after sunset, it's still pretty bright outside. It's starting to get darker. But you can still more or less function. It's functionally day. When you hit civil dusk, the end of civil twilight, that period of time, that's when already you can't function normally ki'ilu is day. You're going to need artificial light. And that begins the next period called nautical twilight. Nautical twilight is when it's not functionally day, but there is still visible light in the sky to the naked eye. So from a sailor's perspective, nautical, you can still see some light. Then after nautical twilight comes astronomical twilight, when to the naked eye there's no light left, but with instruments, for an astronomer, there's still some light left. Astronomical dusk is when there's no light left in the sky whatsoever. And the definitions, the numerical definitions, civil twilight is from when the sun dips below the horizon, 0 degrees, to when the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon. So civil is 0 to 6, nautical is 6 to 12, and astronomical twilight is 12 to 18. In other words, until the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon, it's still functionally day. Until the sun is 12 degrees below the horizon, you're still able to, with the naked eye, detect some sunlight in the sky. And until the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, you could use an instrument, you could detect some sunlight in the sky. Once the sun is below 18 degrees below the horizon, there's no refraction of sunlight whatsoever. It's as dark at 10 as it is, let's say, at midnight. Now, if you run the numbers, the Gra points out in the course of his discussion, it's not really, they're not fixed numbers. It's not always going to be 3/4 of a mil after Shkia. It's not always going to be 4 mil after Shkia. It depends on the Fiha'ofik. It depends where you are, how far you are from the equator, and what time of year it is. And you could do the calculations if you like. If you know latitude and you know the day of the year, you can figure out when the sun will set and how long it'll take for the sun to dip to different points below the horizon. So there are those who assume this is sort of a separate dimension of this, perhaps. There are those who assume that these numbers are fixed. And anywhere in the world, any time of the year, Tzeitzit Chacham is 72 minutes or 13 minutes after Shkia. Very, very hard to defend. Because again, the Gemara is fundamentally talking about visible phenomena. When do you see a certain number of stars? L'chor, it's not Sha'os Shavos. It's not a fixed number of minutes. L'chor, it's also not, Leo Levy points out in his Zmanim B'Halacha, it doesn't seem to be Sha'os Zmanios either. It's not a question of, you know, taking the length of the night and dividing it into parts. And he has diukim in the original Arabic of the Rambam's Pirshim Rishonim and Brachos. It's a third type of calculation. It has to do with how, as we've been saying before, how deep is the sun below the horizon. That's what's going to impact how much sunlight there is in the sky. And all of the zmanim that Chazal speak about between sunset and sunrise, except for Chatzos, always have to do with the degree of darkness. Mishayakir, Elos HaShachar, Tzeis Gimel Kochavim, they all have to do with how dark it is. That's what you're measuring. So, different seasons of the year, the sun may go down at a shallower angle or a steeper angle, but all you care about is vertically how depressed, not emotionally, but how depressed is the sun, the angle of depression of the sun below the horizon. And as we said, and here's where everything begins to click together. We said before that it's functionally day until civil dusk, 6 degrees below the horizon. And we said that sunlight, there is some sunlight available until either 12 or 18 degrees below the horizon. So if you run the numbers, and Leo Levy works out all these cheshbonos, if you think about, let's say, around the equinox, Pesach time, when the beginning of spring or the beginning of fall, at the latitude of Eretz Yisrael or Bavel, let's say Eretz Yisrael, and you figure out how deep is the sun, you know, how depressed is the sun 3/4 of a mil after Shkia, how depressed is the sun 4 mil after Shkia. In other words, when is Tzitzak HaChavim of the Gra, and when is Tzitzak HaChavim of Rabbeinu Tam? So the numbers you come out with are, for the Gra, it's 6 degrees, below the horizon. For Rabbeinu Tam, he comes out with 11 or 17 degrees below the horizon. And now everything comes together. Because for the Gra, well, the Gra's Ha'ar about Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam's 4 mil are Yitzias Kol HaKochavim. Well, that's exactly why it ends up being 11 or 17, which is more or less the end of nautical or astronomical dusk. Those have to do with, is there any light left? That's exactly what the Gra point of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is talking about the 4 mil has to do when there's no light left. Parallel to Elos HaShachar, when sunlight just begins to creep in the smallest of amounts. And meanwhile, the Gra said, no, Tzeitzak Kochavim, Halachik Tzeitzak Kochavim, the end of Safik Yom, Safik Lai, is when you see 3 Kochavim. So why 3 Kochavim? Where did that come from? After all, Lamai said there's still more stars to come. Why should 3 Kochavim make it Laila? Well, there's a famous Rabbi Chana beginning in the Sechta, probably many of you saw. We have Pesach, Tetzachav, Siba, Simon. So Lamaisa, I said before that the Rav's Ha'ara was that Ben Hashmashos is when it's day from one perspective but night from the other perspective. When it's from the sun perspective, there's no sun, it's night. But from the light perspective, it's day. Because there's still light even though there's no sun. Which sounds a lot like civil twilight. When the sun is gone, but functionally it's still day. That goes until 6 degrees below the horizon, which is exactly the Gra, or maybe the Balatanya. Balatanya's understanding was more or less like the Gra of when Seis Gimel Kochavim is. That's 3/4, the degrees equivalent of 3/4 of a mil after Shkia is 6 degrees. That's exactly, that lines up exactly with the Gra's approach and the Rav's Lamdas, and everything fits in incredibly neatly. Where does all of this leave us? Where does all of this leave us? There is a machlokas harishonim. When does Bein HaShmashos begin, and when does Bein HaShmashos end? If we were to paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, which what seems to have been the predominant psak for several centuries, from Rabbeinu Tam through the period of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to have been the dominant psak. So if a baby is born a half hour after sunset on Motzai Shabbos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the bris is next Shabbos morning. Because he says a half hour after we call Sunday, Rabbeinu Tam says, Vadayom! It's dark outside? No! It hasn't even been Shkia yet. Rabbeinu Tam would say, Vadayom. So next it's going to be a Shabbos. We would say, well, who's we? If you follow the Gra, so either that's you're still in Bein HaShmashos, or you are already past Bein HaShmashos. In which case, either way, it's going to be a Sunday bris. And again, they think we're talking about Friday night, as I said before, they want to figure out if it's going to be a Friday bris, a Shabbos bris, or a Sunday bris. You have to know when does Bein HaShmashos begin, and when does Bein HaShmashos end. And the Shach is, as the Rav points out very poetically, in his Yartzei Drasha, the Shach is the one who began to really push against the Psak of Rabbeinu Tam and Koyd Maram Al Shachar. He brings Maram Al Shachar into the. It's right here, Shach in Hilchas Mila. It's in Reish Tamach Vav. It quotes Maram Al Shachar, who says he thinks it's the three Amudei HaPsak, Rif, Rambam, and the Rush. The Rambam in particular is the most suggestive, like Rabbeinu Tam. Excuse me, not against Rabbeinu Tam, like the Gaonim. So as soon as you pass sunset, you're past Vadayom, and 3/4 of a mil or the equivalent later, it's already Vaday Laila. If you look in Leo Levy's charts, see he works, again, as I said before, that there's a variation on the Grosh Levin, which is the Balatanya, based on the Balatanya. I don't think it's in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, I think it's in the Siddur, the Balatanya Siddur by Hadlakas Nerison, that's where he discusses Manim. And sometimes people find it surprising that the Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, basically agreed with the Gra in terms of Zmanim. But history has a slight tweak, but it's in large part the same. And so the Rav writes that the Shach began to chip away at the dominance, the predominance of Rebbe Tam's Psak in this area, and it's the Gra who really moved the Psak HaMakubo. Now, halacha l'masa b'zman hazeh, so there are many people who are machmir for 72 minutes. And Rabbi Shechter's nusach is that no one follows Rabbeinu Tam, because it's really hard to imagine that that 72 minutes is a fixed number, like we were saying before. So the Gra makes that point. Unless you think somehow for Rabbeinu Tam it does make sense to have a fixed number. But if not, so then it's not really 72 minutes. It's 72 minutes in Eretz Yisrael, which is going to be 2 hours or more here. There's a difficult tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, where he says he sits out on his porch, and you know he's here in New York, and he sees X number of minutes after the Shkia. It's as dark as it was 72 minutes after the Shkia in Russia. So that's why he thinks you should have a little less than 72 minutes. Very, very difficult. Other posts can point out. Either 72 is fixed, or it's variable. But if it's variable, then it's not 72 in Russia, it's 72 in Eretz Yisrael. It should be way, way, way longer here, and even longer as you get farther north. So that's, unless you're willing to assume that Tom is really a fixed number, I should have to point out, Pashtas, everyone follows the Gra. Different communities have different minhagim in terms of how much Tosefta Shabbos you have. So you can have Tosefta Shabbos until 72 minutes after Shkia. I think very few poskim would be makel like Rabbi Tam sign in terms of Chil Shabbos, in the simple sense. Supposedly, it's reported, I don't know if it's true or not, that the Satmar Rebbe was, when he came to America, they were driving around after sunset until they told him here in America no one is makel like Rabbi Tam. I don't know if it's true or not. Supposedly he had some sort of conversation with Aaron Cutler about this. Again, it's hard to know if these things are true or not. That Satmar would be machmer for the Gra on Friday, and Lake would be machmer for Rabbeinu Tam on Matzah Shabbos. It's hard to know if these stories are true. It is true that Aaron Cutler did popularize 72 minutes. Again, whether it's actually Rabbeinu Tam or not is a good question. I believe halacha lemasa that no one would do a bris mila on a baby on a Shabbos morning for a baby who was born, you know, a half hour after Shkia on at the end of Shabbos. I think the shach is mekubo in that sense. In terms of the numbers lemasa, if you're doing 6 degrees, this is relevant every night for a Kriya Shema. That's what they have in Yayus Manim. That's the 6 degrees that the Leo Levy calculates, which in for New York's latitude, varies over the course of the year between 27 and 33 degrees, 27 and 33 minutes after the Shkia. Question? If you have to go to Mincha, feel free to run. Absolutely.
Before I was going to ask about, did Rabbeinu Tam pull this way in Erev Shabbos? Like even when it was dark outside,
that's what it's, again, that's what it sounds like. There's a lot. If you're interested in digging into this more, I had shared some with you. I have to say, for here, you can look. Leo Levy has tens of pages on the kashas against Rabbeinu Tam, the kashas against the Gra, and back and forth and Terutzim. And he works a lot. He quotes very, very broadly. A tremendous amount has been written about this. I'm giving you a tipa shabayam, but hopefully a helpful tipa shabayam. Yeah, question.
I understood Rabbi correctly. It's not like it did in the Rabbeinu Tam while people keep late Shabbos. It did more in like, so the Shabbos just like 72 minutes.
That's Rabbi Shechter's interpretation. Because he says that, now, it does. If you ask people keep 72 minutes, they'll probably say they're following Rabbeinu Tam. The question is Rabbeinu Tam waited 72 minutes, or he waited the equivalent of 72 minutes in Eretz Yisrael, which ends up, if Rabbeinu Tam really was saying 11 or 17 degrees, after sunset, so that's going to be in Eretz Yisrael 72 minutes, springtime. So if you go further north, it gets longer and longer and longer.
So it's not actually 72 minutes
according to Rabbi. That's the question. There are those who argue that it's really a fixed number. It's hard to defend that, but there are many who assume that. Well, one more point on the two more brief points. Well, one is that in the world of, once we talk about Zmanim and going further north, it's worth pointing out that Sefer HaBris, Hashem Baruch Long, there's a very prominent Mohel, 20th century Mohel, Puritinsky, who was a very accomplished Mohel and also wrote the Big Talmud Chacham, who wrote an extraordinary Likut on Hilchos Mila. I'll say it loosely, I'll say it in Shulchan Aruch, called the Sefer HaBris. See, he collects some of the Nosakelim that I put in the Maram HaKamos, but when you go very far north, when you go past the Arctic Circle, when you're within 23.5 degrees of the North Pole, so then you're at the point where sometimes sunset gets so late that it never actually happens. Which means once you're north of the Arctic Circle, there'll be times in the summer when the sun never actually sets. It gets close and swings back up. And as you get closer and closer to the pole, that happens more and more of the year. Until when you get to the pole, they actually, astronomically speaking, the day lasts for a year. The sun rises at the beginning of spring and swings around the sky every 24 hours, higher, 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 lower, 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 and the first day of fall, the sun sets and does not reappear for 6 months. I'm sorry? That would be an interesting class trip. It's a very problematic class trip because the question is, what happens to Zmanim? What happens to Yom? What day is it? When is Shabbos? When is Yom Kippur? If a baby is born, you know, at the North Pole, so is his bris when he's 7 years old, you know, after his seventh birthday? Because it's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. So I put the Maram HaKamos where Puritinsky points you, that there's a Shari Tshuva on the page in Aruch Chaim, who it's in a fascinating sentence, a siman about someone who's lost in the wilderness, at the end of the Chelek Gimel of Mishnah Berurah, siman Shin Dal Mem. What do you do if you lost? You lose track of what day is Shabbos. So how do you keep Shabbos? You're not sure what day of the week it is. So Shari Tshuva says, well, let's say it's not that you got lost; it's that you're in Copenhagen or in Stockholm, and the sun sometimes doesn't set. So now, is it still Thursday for 3 days? What day is it? What day of the week is it? What time is it? Kriyashma, Tfila, Mila, Shofar, everything. Yom, Laila, dates. I think it's very confusing. So and then the Teres Yisrael, the Yisrael Lipschitz, the Yachar Boaz, on the bottom of the Mishnah, big Mishnah is, so at the very end of the first parak of Brachas, after the line-by-line Perish, the end of the Boaz, he has a long discussion about this question. He was very interested. The Shalipsh was interested in a lot of Torah Mata questions. He was one of the first to write about dinosaurs, fossils. So he talks about this. So no one has an absolute clarity. So some say maybe you go like this, maybe like that. If it during the when the sun is up, so maybe every time the sun rotates, that's another day. But that's not going to help you during the winter when there's no sun to be seen at all. As you say, you just clock 24 hours. And what time is it? What time is it? Is there... Are they 24-hour days, but they're all day? Or is there Laila? And what day of the week is it? What day of the year is it? So some of the posts can suggest, well, maybe you just continue with the Zman. And what time zone? Another way to think of, what time zone are you in? At the pool, there's no time zone because it's just day for 6 months and night for 6 months. So some suggest, well, every 24 hours is another day, and follow the time zone that you came from. Which is practically complicated, and also would mean that you have two people who meet at the pole from two different places. For one it's Yom, for one it's Laila, for one it's Shabbos, for one it's week. It's very confusing. So I suppose can say it's probably a good idea to avoid the problem, if you can. And it's worth noting also, even if you're a little bit shy of the Arctic Circle, even a little bit south of the Arctic Circle, so sunset never disappears, but Seis HaKochavim might disappear, because the sun is, if you're 24 degrees from the pole, so that means during the summer, the sun will just barely set and then come right back, very shallow. So it never gets deep enough to have a Tzeis HaKochavim. Even if you're slightly south of the Arctic Circle, the Tzeis HaKochavim issues are serious. They are serious. So in those cases, at least, when there isn't Tzeis HaKochavim, but there is a Shkia and there is a Zricha, then the post can assume that Chatzos. Once you've passed Chatzos, then you know that's already, you're past the equivalent of Tzeis HaKochavim. But that can make for a very late Havdalah. There are places where people go to sleep and wake up in the morning, say Havdalah for that reason. And again, in terms of the Safik Yom, Safik Laila with Bris Mila, it becomes complex as well. And finally, one last point, especially since we're learning Pesachim this year, is the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Reish Samach Beit touches on an issue that's somewhat adjudicated in Tosas on the first Amud of Arvei Pesachim, and that is how you understand Tosefes Shabbos. And whether Tosefes Shabbos, Tosas seems to be debating on Tzaitas and Abayz, whether Tosefes Machlokas there of any Yehuda versus the Rikurvel, elsewhere it's other Balei Tosas, whether Tosefes Shabbos is actually Shabbos or not. Can you Mekayim Mitzvahs? Can you Mekayim Suda during Tosefes, or Kiddush is a special exception? But basically it's just perhaps, as Acharon explained, maybe just a Siyad. The Rashi says in Chumash, Parshas Bereishis, the way Shulta Giborim quotes in Maseches Yuma, maybe just a Siyag, it's Friday, you stop doing Malacha. Or, no, it's actually, you're actually injecting Kedusha Shabbos into the end of Friday. And that may or may not be a Machlokas Taz and Marshal in several places. And what the Shulchan Aruch says here is, even if you think that Tosefa Shabbos makes it Shabbos, injects Kedusha Shabbos into Friday, but it's still Friday. It's Friday with the Kiddush of Shabbos. But it remains Friday. It remains Zayin Adar as opposed to Ches Adar. And so it remains Yom as opposed to Laila. That actually Tosfos is very clear about. So even Tosef HaShabbos, you still can't, even if you have a more robust view of Tosef HaShabbos, you still cannot be Mekayim Mitzvah Laila of the Lila Seder because it's not Laila. It's Yom with Kiddushas Pesach. So that's why Alpi Pasha, this is the issue that comes up here, it comes up with Chaznida. Alpi Pasha, even if we davened early Ma'ariv, and even Pashas, even if it was a Friday night and we davened early Ma'ariv, even if the whole Tzibur davened early Ma'ariv, which may create a Chiyuv Tosef Kabbal Shabbos upon the whole community, but and again, even if you take the more robust view that Tosef Shabbos is not just Friday with an Easter Malachim Itam Siyag, but it actually HaChavos HaKedusha, but it's still Friday. It's Friday. It's Zayin Adar with Kedusha Shabbos. Not that Ches Adar began, and that's going to be relevant in terms of babies born during Tosef HaShabbos, during even a communal Tosef HaShabbos, he is still a Friday baby and will still get a Friday bris the following week. These are some of the issues that come up in these fascinating Se'ifim, and this is how the way in which Hilchas Mila spills over and impacts all of halacha. The Maram al Shakar tshuva about the baby who was born, was it ben hashmashas or not? That the shach was here in Hilchos Mila, that ends up impacting Kol HaTorah Kula in terms of should we pass him like a ben atam of the Gaonim.